Good morning, Barkata fam. This is Paul. My pronouns are he and him. So yesterday's episode spoke about the origin of the model minority myth. So how has this construct shaped me? So ever since I was a kid, I think it's been drilled in my head to, I guess, be a stellar student. I've always been an A+ student until my sophomore year in college. It was actually the very first time I've ever failed a test. And I didn't just fail by, I didn't like not just get an A- or something like that. It was the first time I bombed a test. It was in anatomy and physiology. But anyways, I was going to be something in allied health sciences. I was going to do something there. I thought I was going to make my family proud. I thought there was definitely a sense of security, just knowing that it would make my family happy, but maybe there would be like a secure, stable salary. But I'm really glad I ended up pivoting to where I really want to be, which is in fashion. I think also when I told my parents that I wanted to kind of be in this field, they were, not that they weren't supportive, but they were, I think, nervous for me. They were like, who's doing that? Like, you know, I don't know. They weren't exactly thrilled in the beginning, but I'm really happy that I was able to pursue what I wanted to do, and I kind of stepped out of my safety zone. So glad I did that. And gosh, also when I was a kid, and even now, I'm definitely more outspoken, because sometimes if things bother me, I end up not telling anyone. I just kind of keep it to myself, and it ends up bubbling over, which is really bad. So don't do that for your mental health. So it's better to be outspoken and have your friends that you could vent to, and just have some kind of outlet to, you know, let your frustrations out. All right. Have a great day, everyone. See y'all.
Hey, what's going on, Barkata fam? This is Gerald here. My pronouns are he and him. Hope everyone's having a good Wednesday. And yeah, just thinking about yesterday's episode, Good Americans, which dove into the construct of the model minority myth. I wasn't expecting to have such a visceral and emotional reaction to it as I did previous to that when you watched the episode that talked about the internment camps and everything. I feel that it really hit me hard as well, because it's basically the construct of model minority. I feel like it has really affected me more personally in my life, just trying to navigate through the educational world, career and whatnot. And just hearing that term more, like, and it's funny because I've always been aware of the term model minority, but the fact that I never saw it as a bad thing or a negative thing till quite recently, over the recent years, is quite alarming. And it's just I just look at it now, and like, I just feel like for most of my life the wool has been pulled over my eyes. You know what it feels like? It kind of feels like I'm Neo, and it's when he discovers that he's in the Matrix, like his reality isn't real. So that's kind of like what it feels like, because I didn't really sort of think too hard on where this construct came from. And so basically, with regard to being a good Asian, should be doctors, should be lawyers, should always get good grades, like, I always felt like me, myself, with my weird and unique passions that didn't really fit into the mold, that I was like from the island of like the misfit toys or something. Like, because basically most of my family, they became nurses or doctors in the medical field, and there's nothing wrong with that. And almost all of them love their positions, but I always felt like I wasn't meeting up to their standard just for trying to pursue film and stuff, and TV. But now that I have this knowledge, and just like, just being part of this community, I feel that this is a good thing. So I don't see it as a negative thing. I just feel like it's a very eye-opening, teachable moment to me that I can just move forward, just have an awareness of how my thinking has been framed all these years, and it'll inform my work. And hopefully, as I continue to pursue my passions, I'll just have that. I'll have a better awareness of it, and I won't cave into this construct as much anymore. So I think it's a really, really good thing. Anyways, have a great day, guys. See you at Barkada Bootcamp. Bye-bye.
Hey guys, it's Jeff. Happy Wednesday. I'm gonna complete this bean before I have to go on this microaggressive ass meeting in 20 minutes. But replying to the question about the model minority myth, I feel like I could never identify with it growing up, actually. I feel like because I take it from a very monetary standpoint, I couldn't really identify with it. I felt like, yeah, I grew up poor. I grew up like with free lunch and with max financial aid and just like government programs. I didn't feel like I identified with that at all, really. So it's weird. I felt like I was othered in a way, because I think that this difference was exacerbated for me in high school and in college, because I remember like one of my, I wouldn't say she's a friend, but like one of my Filipino classmates back in high school teased me for my family not having a car. And I was just thinking like, okay, and like some of us can't afford that. And in college, just like, even though I was part of the Filipino community, I did feel like there was some sort of otherness, not in a hostile way, but it's just like, damn, like, it's like when your friends are driving around Beamers and Mercedes, and then you don't even have a car to go home, you know? So it feels weird. It feels really weird. I never really identified with the model minority myth. I mean, I was always like, you know, doing well in school and trying to strive for A's, but if you take it from a financial standpoint, I never really identified with it. It's just weird. But I feel like I do come off, or like even just being Asian, people might perceive you as being like middle class or upper middle class or uppity, but like, no, like I feel like this even happened in my neighborhood. Like someone thought I was a gentrifier. I'm like, no, I'm born and raised here. Like I'm not here to take or raise your rent or anything, you know? So it's a strange myth, and all in all, I don't identify with it, essentially. Anyway, thanks for listening.
Hi, everybody. My name is Mark St. Louis, and my pronouns are he, him. This is in response to Carlo's question about how the model minority construct shaped my identity, and also to watching episode 3 titled Good Americans. As a Filipino immigrant, I came to this country when I was 11, and I have heard this term model minority used in schools and mainly mass media and other places as well, somewhat used as a neutral term. I guess I'm in the same boat as Gerald, because now we know what this term really means and how insidious it is in origin. To me, though, the model minority is like an equivalent of assimilation. I think one of the things that I have noticed, for example, with other families that have migrated here from the Philippines, is the fact that, for example, they don't want to teach their native language to their kids. They only spoke English at home. And this is something that I've found in a lot of my family members. Their kids don't speak their native language, basically. And I'm lucky enough to speak Tagalog and Ilonggo because I came from Visaya, because my parents really chose to speak our native language when we were growing up. So to me, the model minority is more of the assimilation to the society. And I was shocked, because in that episode, we also learned how the model minority term was used to delegitimize claims of discrimination and create this wedge against Asian Americans and other minority groups. And I also wanted to say that this docuseries, it was really eye-opening, because we also get to learn a lot of Asian American heroes and trailblazers, like Patsy Mink, which was the very first and only woman of color in 1964 to serve in the U.S. Congress. And even Anna May Wong on the first episode was really great. So yeah, I just wanted to say that. And yeah, I hope you guys all have a beautiful day. Bye.
Good morning, Marakabaga. This is Ben, pronouns he, they. The episode Generation Rising featured Larry Italong. I mean, Pinoy pride to the max upon learning of his activism. And the many student organizers who fought for their right to have their history, their culture, their stories in education and in curriculum, in colleges. And even today, this is an ongoing fight to have Asian American studies, not only at the post-secondary level, but across their education system. And so all of them are an inspiration to me, and I hope that they will be an inspiration to many young folks who are finding their role and their voice, not only as nurses, or not only as engineers and doctors, but also as activists, change makers, trailblazers, entrepreneurs, leading the way towards justice.